There are 10 words in Scripture that make the difference for those who desire to live fully for Jesus Christ. These 10 words proclaim a powerful promise. They define the Christian faith, and they provide a personal confidence to the heart of every believer. If you will understand them, they will radically change your life. If you will believe them, they will breathe renewed strength into your heart and sustain you through the most difficult seasons of life. Stay with us and learn these 10 important words.
The 10 most powerful words you will ever hear. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This verse is the basis of our series and the foundation of our faith in Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. God has given us an incredible promise in His Word that opens the door to biblical faith and spiritual victory. In our series, Living Life Through Christ, we will learn how the essence of our faith is found in the promises of God. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called The Joy of Giving.
Giving is to be proportionate to the blessing of God. You see, in the Bible, you'll never see an offering where they said, everyone come to a dinner and everyone give X amount per plate. It was never done that way. Giving was always mentioned in a proportionate way. For example, tithing is proportionate giving. Tithing is simply saying, everyone give 10%. So the guy that makes $100 a week and the guy that makes $1,000 a week are giving proportionately. That's God's plan in tithing. God's plan is the same in giving. Those that are blessed more are able to give more. And he says, I don't want some being eased while some are burdened. Look it. Some people could give even $10,000 and just kind of keep moving along and readjust a few things and keep going. Other people could not give that. It's simply stated then, you don't have one amount for every member, but every member says, hey, how has God blessed me? And how can I be a part of this? Look it, folks, it's not about the dollar number. It's about proportionate giving. God has blessed some of you in investments and in your businesses and at your jobs, and He's done some wonderful things for you. And these are opportunities where we can honor Him proportionately. Look in your notes there, 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. And what do the next four words say? As God hath what? As God hath prospered him. God says, hey, I'm going to prosper each of you differently. I want you to honor me according to the way that I have prospered you. Now, I'm simply saying there's a lot of ways that people try to fund building programs, all right? But the best way is just to step back, get down on your knees in prayer, and really think about how God has blessed you, and then honor Him proportionately to His blessings. And so we see, and concerning their demonstration, it was to be proportionate. He said, I don't want some on easy street and some being burdened. Notice, secondly, it was to be protected. This offering was to be protected. Look very quickly at verse number 16, what the Bible says. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed, he accepted the exhortation. But being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother, it doesn't say the brother's name, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us by this grace, which is administered by us under the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should, notice this, blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, verse 21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, notice this, but also in the sight of men. Now this is interesting. He says, I want all of you to give an offering, and I want everybody to give proportionately according to how God has blessed. Then he goes to great lengths to say, by the way, we're not just going to send Titus to take the offering, but we're going to send another brother, the brother of praise. By the way, that would be a good thing for you and I to be known as, the brother of praise. Don't be known as the brother who always grumbles. You know what I'm saying? And he says, I'm going to send Titus, but I'm going to send another guy too. Now, someone says, what is the big deal about that? Why did God put that in the Bible? Well, notice what it says there in verse number 21 again. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but what does it say? But also in the sight of whom? Paul says, look, we're going to receive the offering. It's going to be proportionate, but it's also going to be protected. And we're not just going to have one man carrying the funds. We're going to have two men. That's why here at Lancaster Baptist Church, we have a policies manual about that thick. And I'd say about a fourth of it deals with how finances are handled and how the offerings are always counted by a team of six and always delivered by a team of three, and how there's always double signatures on the POs and double signatures on the checks, and how the books are audited annually and so on and so forth. Why? Because as God's people give proportionately, then God says, I want you to handle it in a way that is honest before men. It needs to be protected. There needs to be wise stewardship. But notice thirdly, not only is it proportionate, not only is it protected, but thirdly, it is to be prepared. Now, this matter of giving was something that God wanted them to prepare and to be ready for. Now, notice if you would in chapter 9 and beginning in verse number 1, how he begins to help them to prepare. Notice if you would verse 1, chapter 9. For as touching the ministry to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know, superfluous means it's not really needful. He says, for I know the forwardness of your mind. He says, I know what you're thinking. And he says, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me, and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren. You guys get the picture of this. The Apostle Paul saying, I just thought it was necessary to remind you that the offering time is coming. I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, notice, that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Now, if you're taking notes this morning, write down the definition of the word bounty. Bounty means a generous offering. You can look it up in the Greek. You can look it up in a Webster's dictionary. It means a generous offering. So Paul says, I sent the brethren ahead so that you would be preparing your offering. He says, I want you to be getting ready for the offering that we're taking. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God wants us to be preparing. God wants us to be seeking his kingdom. Right here in the Word of God, Paul says, I thought it necessary that they would go before unto you and remind you beforehand to get ready for the offering. Now, of course, it will take a sustained inward commitment to cause us to make that plan and then to follow through with it. But Paul the Apostle is reminding them of their promise here. So when we study the churches of northern Greece, the first thing we see is their desire to give. And I mean, their desire was supernatural. It wasn't just normal Christianity. It was a special kind of a heart that they had in this matter. And by the way, we said last week, the average Protestant church member gives 2.6% of their income. How many of you would understand that what these Christians were doing was super abundant beyond that? It was an unbelievable desire. Then we see their demonstration of giving. Their demonstration was proportionate. Their demonstration was prepared. It was something that they were serious about. It wasn't just, oh yeah, that offering's today. Well, let's see what I'll do. All right, well, here's what we can do. No, it was something they really got into. Then notice thirdly, as we study this today, their delight in giving. Notice, if you will, the delight they had in giving. Now look at this, if you will, in verse number 6. Of chapter 9. It says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now let's read verse 7 together. You have it there? Ready, begin. Every man according as he purposeth in his, so let him, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a... Now let's just take a moment and see the delight that is seen in the Word of God concerning giving. First of all, there is the delight of sowing. There's the delight of sowing in to an offering. The Bible says in verse 6, "He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly." So here we see the delight of sowing. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now please remember, and I put it in your notes this morning, giving is not a debt you owe, it is a seed you sow. You see, the fact of the matter is that when we have a special offering, we're not going to give out of, "Oh, well, I guess I have to." No, no, we're saying, "Lord, you've blessed me in the past. I'm going to honor you now. I believe you'll bless me in the future." Now we can hoard and we can say, "Well, I'm just going to do it my way." And the Bible says oftentimes that will tend to poverty in the life of a Christian. Look at what the Bible says in Proverbs 11:24. "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty." Now, folks, we can resist this all we want. I don't think God puts anything in the Bible to hurt us. I think God has a reason for putting these things in the Word of God. And I think that reason is that He knows there is great delight in sowing. I believe it was the Lord who said, "It is more blessed to do what? To give than to receive." I heard of a man that went to church with his family and on the way home, he was one of these negative, kind of a complaining guys, and he's complaining about everything. His poor kids are in the back seat. By the way, a good way to not have your kids ever go to church when they get older is just complain about the church while they're growing up. So he's complaining about the music was too loud, sermon was too long, the building was too hot, the people were unfriendly, all these different things. He just kept complaining and complaining. And finally, in the middle of his complaints, his son piped up and said, "Hey, Dad, you have to admit, though, it wasn't a bad show for a dollar." You know, he had not learned the joy of giving. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 6, "Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of the thousands and of the hundreds and with rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams." And it goes on. You read when the building of the temple was taking place, there was a sacrifice that was delightful on the part of God's people. The delight of sowing. I hope you've come to that delight in your life. Notice secondly, the delight of reaping. The delight of reaping. Verse 6, notice what it says once again in chapter 9 and verse number 6. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Now that's God's law of sowing and reaping. Luke 6:38 is in your notes. Let's find that one right there and read that together. Would you read it with me? Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 says this, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." God says, "Hey, if you'll give, I'm going to bless you again." And hundreds of members of this church have experienced that in their own lives. I remember when Terry and I moved here in 1986, we came, as most of you know, to, 12 people that voted for us to be their pastor. And as we came down, they voted, and then we called them to talk to them about some things. They said, "Now, we want you to come." They said, "You need to understand, we can't pay a salary or anything like that, and we can't move you here or anything like that." And my wife was expecting Christine, our third child at that time, and they said, "We don't have like medical insurance or anything like that either. But," they said, "we really would like you to come and be our pastor." And strange thing, God got a hold of my heart, and I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt, He called me to come. By faith we came. And we had some other churches that supported us, and my grandparents and some others chipped in and kind of kept us fed and going for a while there. But we had at that time about $6,000 in our savings account. And that money we had hoped someday maybe to buy a house with, you know, and we were a young married couple just getting started. And soon we began to see that there were needs. And within the first few weeks, we bought a bunch of paint for the church with that money and painted up the church. Back then, I painted everything bright white. Bright white. I thought, bright white and cold rooms, that'll keep them awake and excited for God. Boy, I tell you what, that was my philosophy. And we painted everything white. I mean, everything that stood still, we painted it white. We trimmed the bushes. We cleaned that old building up downtown. And then we had to pay for the truck to move down, first and last month's rent, and this, that, and the other thing. And it was just a matter of just a short period of time. We had depleted our savings, and we did it happily in the work of the Lord. We didn't think twice about it. And we were just going out soul winning and doing the work of God. A few months into the process, as we had just gotten started here, a family came by to see us. We hadn't seen them in some years. We had exchanged some Christmas cards and things. And they called and said, "Hey, we're going up to Monterey. We're coming from the LA area. We want to stop by and see it." Great, wonderful. They came by and they saw us. At that time, we were living in a little apartment on Spearman Avenue down somewhere between Sierra Highway and Division Street. And it was very small. In fact, it was so small we couldn't set up our furniture. And yet, again, we were just excited to be there. It was a little bit of a tougher area. Our one next door neighbor over here had a lot of men that visited her throughout the day, and kind of a rougher situation. Across the street over here, some kind of gang folks. One night we had a couple bullets lodge into our living room area. Had a little domestic disturbance over here across the street and so forth. And just not the best neighborhood. But we were in God's will, and I mean, we were happy. And these folks came by to see us, and they came into our little apartment. And that day, our swamp cooler had broken down. By the way, when it is 112 degrees in Lancaster, swamp coolers don't do as much as they're really built to do. But that day, we didn't have a swamp cooler anyways. The night before that, the pipe had broken under the sink and had spilled out. We'd done our best to clean it, but it just wasn't doing real well. It was hot and humid. And the people that lived in the apartment before us had dogs. They didn't let their dogs outside for special moments in their lives. They just let them stay right inside the place there. I'm telling you, that water filled that little apartment. It was 110, 112 degrees. I mean to tell you, the place reeked. Our friends pulled up, bless their hearts, had their nice car and their nice clothes, and they walked in to our apartment. They go, "Well, why don't we take a drive?" And one reason was they had air conditioning in their car. We got in their air-conditioned car, and we started just driving around looking at the area. We showed them the church first. Then we drove around. We got out here by a neighborhood and saw a sign. It said, "One house only, one house only." And one house only was left in a little housing tract there. And they said, "Hey, let's go look at that." We went in, and we looked at the house, and I thought maybe they were looking like for an investment or something. We went back to the sales office. They said, "How much would it be for this couple to tie this up, just to get a down payment and have this house?" Lady did her little calculator there. And she said, "Well, it'd be about $6,000. About $6,000, we could get it into an escrow and down payment would be fine, so forth." So the man took out his checkbook. He wrote a check for $6,000 and he gave it to the lady. And I thought he was buying that house for himself. I still did not understand. Then a minute later, he was talking to the lady. The lady came over to me. She said, "Sir, how much do you make?" And I kind of looked at her. I said, "As much as comes in." She said, "But I need to put something down here." I said, "Well, just as the Lord provides." True story. She wrote that down. "As the Lord provides." I had really no idea what was going on. She called different people and underwriters and everything. And somehow, by the grace of God, that all went through. And the gentleman that was there that day, he said, "By the way," he said, "I don't want them to make their first payment till escrow closes, but I want them to start living in this house next week." Lady said, "We can't do that. That's not how we do it." He said, "Well, that's how I want to do it. This is your last house, and this is the preacher starting a church, and you talk to the people about doing it." Their headquarters over in Bakersfield. Folks, we lived in that house for 4 months without ever having to pay a house payment. That dear family gave us $6,000, and we became homeowners so much sooner than we ever thought possible. I'm simply saying there's a delight in sowing, and hey, there's a delight in reaping. And you cannot outgive God. And time again in our lives and in your lives, we have seen the delight in sowing and the delight in reaping. Jim Elliot, who gave his life as a missionary in martyrdom down in South America, said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose." What a tremendous spirit. And may we have that as well. Then thirdly, there's the delight in growing. There's the delight... in growing. Now notice what it says in verse 8, and we're almost done. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now let's read that verse together. You help me out a little bit here. Verse number 8 of chapter 9. Ready to begin. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And God says, look, no matter what work you're going to face, I'm going to have grace for you when you face that work. If it's parenting, God says, I'm going to give you grace for that. If it's your marriage, God says, I'm going to give you grace for that. Building your business, whatever good work you do for God, He says, I'm going to give you that grace. I'm going to give you that super abundant energy. And when it comes to giving for these special offerings, God says, I'm going to grow you for that too. It's going to be a delight to help you grow. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You see, as we give, we are stewarding God's gifts to us. It's not about giving, it's about growing. And if God has my pocketbook, then God has my heart. It's no accident that those two things go together. And God says, if you'll allow me, I'm going to give you the desire, I'm going to give you the ability to keep on being a part of something in a way that you never thought possible. Listen, I dream like every pastor and every president of a Bible college that God would do something for this ministry from outside the realms of this ministry and helping to provide. And maybe that'll happen someday. But I believe this, that God can enable this local congregation to do what we never dreamed possible if we would just continue to grow. Why? Because there is joy in sowing, there is joy in reaping, and there is joy in growing. And the happiest people in this church have been people. And by the way, the most consistent people in this church have been people who have learned the joy of sowing and reaping and honoring God in their tithes and in their offerings. And let me tell you finally why I believe that happens consistently here at this church. And it's found in the last verse of chapter 9. And I want you to see this and we'll be done. It says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. All right? Now you help me with that. Let's read it together. Ready to begin. Thanks
be unto God for His unspeakable
gift. You know, I can just imagine. You know, this letter, this letter, 2 Corinthians being read at the church at Corinth. Hey, we got God's word sent to us. He gave it to the Apostle Paul. And now here's this guy, this old boy sitting in church. They're reading the letter and they're talking about sowing and reaping and giving joyfully and all this. And some guys say, I know they give a lot up there in Northern Macedonia, but you know, they're not as educated as we are. And I know, you know, sowing and reaping, and I know Paul's telling us to get the bounty ready. I understand, but look at times are different here. I can just imagine that. And then here comes the last verse. By the way, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Boy, if there was a skeptic left, I think that verse would get him off his chair, don't you? And he'd have to say, you know what? God gave His only begotten Son. Why do we give? Because, my friend, when you stop and remember what Jesus Christ did, though He was in heaven with the Father, enjoying the fellowship of eternity past, yet He willingly came down to this earth. And He willingly lived in this filthy, sin-sick world. And He willingly carried a cross up the hill of the skull. And He willingly laid down. He willingly took the nails. He willingly took the crown. He willingly gave up the ghost. And on the third day, He rose again to prove our justification.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In life, there's nothing more important than knowing where you'll spend eternity. Some people believe that being a good person is their pass to get into heaven, or that this life is all there is. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Pastor Paul Chappell wants us to send you his newest book called Paid in Full, Your Debt, God's Payment, as a thanks when you support this ministry financially. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this book for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. Thanks in advance for your support. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.